Everybody is here. So in the last class I discussed the semantics of this language A0, and the semantics, the what I mean by semantics is we have the syntax of A0 is very simple. It has accent description of the form A causes F if P1 to PN, and it has observations of the form initially F. Okay. So there's the accents, observations, and then we talked a little bit about oracles, which are very similar to queries, like saying F after A1 to AN, meaning that somebody told that if A1 to AN are executed, F would be true after that. Okay? And the queries are asking questions, would F be true after executing A1 to AN? And what we did was saying, okay, so we have this domain description D, and observations O, and our goal is to basically ask queries. So defining this is, you can think of that as semantics. Defining when can, given a description, given observation, when can I conclude this query? Okay? And a slightly more general one with Oracle is you put this O prime here and this query. And the way we defined it is we O gives us the initial state, sigma 0. D gives us the transition function, phi D. Okay? And now from D and O, there can be many models. So there can be like the sigma 0, phi D. There will be basically one phi D, but there can be many sigma 0s. So sigma 0, 1, sigma 0, 2, and so on. Now once you've given a sigma 0, phi D, so the query Q is of the form F after A1 to AN, right? So all you have to do is you say, okay, for this model I start with sigma 0 and I do accent A1, then I get here. I do up to AN and then I get here, and I'm trying to find out is F true here. And this entails this if F is true for each of these possible, each of these models. And when we have O prime, what happens is from these we select only those ones which satisfy this O prime. So these are kind of oracles, so we want to say, okay, which one of these are satisfying this, and we pick only those. So that is what we spent time last time defining. So this was the definition for sigma 0, this was the definition for phi D, and then sigma 0 phi is a model. So these are the, from D and O you get these, and then we define entailment, exactly what I said here, and oracle, and saying that a model of DO satisfies an oracle if we can add those conditions, the same as in queries, and entailment in presence of oracles we talked about, and then the notion of consistency and completeness. I did not go over it. So DO and O prime together is said to be consistent if DO has a model and if that model satisfies O prime. So anytime you see the word consistent means that there is some, I mean something is consistent with this, that means there is some view which can encompass both. Okay? Inconsistent means there is no way you can find some view, or model is the word, which can encompass all these facts. So if I say F is true, F is false, there is no way, I mean this is inconsistent because you cannot find a scenario, you cannot find a model, or you cannot find a world where both F can be true and false. Okay? So similarly here, so that's the general, means you come across this notion of consistency often. So it's consistent, DO is consistent with O prime, if there is a model of DO, which also satisfies O prime. And complete, that means our information is complete if there is exactly one model, there is no non-determinism, we have complete information. So these are words often used in many contexts, and here is it in this context. And so now, did I go over this slide? Where did I end last time? I didn't go over here. With this one? Okay. So so today, I mean, after the definitions, so we now want to look at various questions and see how hard it is to determine them. Okay? So let me go over the five questions, and we're going to do this with respect to this particular language. There are similar questions with respect to the improved languages or the ones we'll discuss later, but we are not going to go into that deep. So this is the simplest language, and we're going to make sure that we understand these questions and their complexity and everything. So the first one is, given D, deciding whether there is a transition function phi D exists or not. Okay, you want to, does phi D exist? Does D lead us, is the domain description, is the domain make sense? Does it lead to a transition function? Determining that is, you can do that in polynomial time in the size of D. Okay, and how we are going to discuss that. Second one says, given a consistent D, that means now that, assume that you know phi D exists, and a set of fluents sigma 0, actually it's a set of fluents, an initial a set of fluents sigma 0, so you are told what is true in the initial state, and observations O and oracles O prime, to determine if sigma 0 is an initial state of this DO, of a model of DO and satisfying O prime, is polynomial. In other words, given D, so what I said, from D we get this. So I'm saying, given D, just finding out if something like this exists, not determining this. Just finding out if something exists is polynomial. Now after you know that this exists, now you have O and O prime, and if I give you sigma 0 to be able to tell me that if this sigma 0 is an initial state, is polynomial time. Okay, we're going step by step, like D, from D we get this. Now I made it a little more complicated here. Now the third one is more complicated, saying, okay, given D, O and O prime, determining if they are consistent is NP complete. So determining if they are consistent means that there is a model of D and O which satisfies O prime. Okay, determining that is NP complete. And then that, so the next one, saying, deciding if D, O with this O prime entails Q after B1 to Bn, that is a so answering a query using oracles is co-NP complete. Now I will talk about what is NP complete, what is co-NP and all that stuff. We'll go over each of these results in detail. And then the last one is planning. R4 is more like plan verification, and R5 is planning or control verification. And R5 is planning, saying, given DO and a goal G, finding instead of Q is the G, finding a sequence B1 to Bn such that DO entails this goal after P B1 to Bm is NP complete. So even for this very, very simple language, finding a sequence of actions to achieve a simple goal, just something true, is NP complete. Okay? So these are the results we want to discuss, and I will keep them on the board, and we'll see how. Oh, it's coming out of subscript. Right. Okay. So the first question, D R1. So given D, phi D exists or not, right? So this is polynomial. Does phi D exist? Given D, and I don't. So let's actually go back to the definition of phi d and see what happens. So when we say a function exists, right? So what is phi d? So phi d is goes from, like say, an axon and a state to say equal to say sigma to sigma prime, or it goes, you can write something like axon to state. Okay. So phi d, I mean the question of not existing comes into picture if there is an axon A and some state sigma, okay, where phi d a sigma is not properly defined, not well defined. That's when it doesn't exist. Okay? Yeah? So now, what does it mean that given a, for a state sigma, phi d a sigma is not properly defined. So if you look at what happens, this is what it says: given a state sigma and an axon A, if the state exists, then these conditions have to be satisfied. Right? So if these conditions are not satisfied, we can go backwards and saying maybe the phi d does not exist. And what is those conditions? Basically the condition is, to save time here, I want to focus more on the NP part. The problem happens here if we have say A causes F if some condition, and A causes say not F if some condition, and if these conditions together can both be true in some sigma, then as per the condition there, F should be in phi d a sigma, not F, I mean F should not be, and I mean it cannot happen that F should be and F should not be. You cannot satisfy them, right, at the same time. So somehow you have to, so what that means is you have to make sure that for every pair of these, right, these two should not be true in the same state. Okay?
What if the axon is non-deterministic? Can you
still
allow that?
So our language, we don't have non-determinism yet. So we are at the simplest level. Okay? Our axon just, yeah, we don't have non-determinism. If you look at phi of this, this goes to one state. So there's no non-determinism. So it boils down to somehow being able to say that there does not exist two of these rules, so that this and this can be true at the same, and they have opposite things, and this can be true at the same time. Right? Now this can be syntactically done, and so if I have say A causes F if P1 to Pn, and A causes not F if Q1 to Qm. Okay? The way to guarantee that these two cannot be true at the same time is that one of these should have the complement of this should occur here. So suppose I have P1 here and not P1 here, these two conditions cannot be satisfied at the same time. Right? So I just have to make sure that for every pair of these rules where this and this is there, there's F and not F, I just have to look here, and so that, so this can be written as P1 to say Pn, an intersection of say the complement Q1 bar Qm bar is not empty. That means there's something here whose complement is here. And that way, that guarantees that in no state these two will be true at the same time, and if these two are not true at the same time, then I cannot have this F and not F, and then I will not have a problem. This only works for this simple language. So this is what it means. So what I need to do then is, given D, does phi D exist? So I look at D, and I have many such F, A causes kind of things, and I have to look at every pair and first check if these two are complement. If they are, then I have to check this condition. I need to keep doing that, so it will be at the worst case order of quadratic or n squared. If there are n such things, I have to look at each such pairs, so it will be n squared, order of n squared, which is polynomial. Yes. No, it's on the size of the phi D.
Oh.
So I need to check for each pair of this, each pair of this proposition.
Yeah.
A causes thing. These are okay, effect propositions. Each pair of them. So this was the first one. And even though I didn't make slides, the old slides have these things. Okay, I pointed them in my here. So these slides, the old slides have them, except that I changed some of the definitions from the old to new. So I will have to make new slides to change, make some minor changes. The old slides still give you the basic picture. Let me show you. So this is the, so the proof of R1 in the old slide works here also, the same thing. But R2 is different. Because this R2, what I've defined here, and R2, what I've defined here, they're slightly different. So the old slides, by they don't work directly. Some minor changes need to be made. Okay, let's move on to R2. So given a consistent D, so now we are done with the D, right? A set of fluents sigma 0, observations O and oracles O prime, determining if sigma 0 is an initial state, is polynomial. Okay? So think about it. What should we do, or how we should do about it? This one is simpler than first one. So the first one you had to know that that particular trick. So this one is, that's almost right, but we have to take care of the oracles O prime. Okay. So you already have for D, you have phi D, and for observations O, you can easily check if sigma 0 is an initial state corresponding to O. Okay, that is easy to check. It has to be consistent. It means everything in O must be true. If you have, say, initially F in O, then F must be in sigma 0. if you have initially not G in O, then G cannot be in sigma 0. That is easy to check. After that, you have to now think of, okay, so you can figure out that if it is a model of DO or not. So next you have to figure out if it satisfies O prime or not. Okay? So satisfying O prime is, means you already have sigma 0, you have phi d, right? And you have to find out if it satisfies O prime. So O prime is of the form F after A1 to AM, that's like order curve. So what we need to do is, you need to start from sigma 0, apply A1, okay? And we know how you can apply it. We gave you the function. So this is basically, apply this means this is phi d sigma 0 A1, okay? And computing this is polynomial, because you take sigma 0 and you will tell you add these things, positive effects, take out the negative effects, right? And all those descriptions, if you look at it, is polynomial, I mean, it's at best quadratic actually. So each of these steps, you then keep doing it, A2 and up to AM, and then you check if F is true here or not. And if you are able to do that, then you know that, okay, then you can determine if a sigma 0 is an initial state with respect to DO and O prime together. So the difference, let me, until I put the slides, the difference between this and that was, in the old one I had put O and O prime together, and now I have separated them, because there are in the original research, the observations could be both kinds, initially kind and oracle kind, and now I'm separating them out to make the distinction, and that is the main difference. So the way it is stated is slightly different. Otherwise, it's very same. Means otherwise, most of is kind of same. Okay, so these ones I moved a little faster. So now we will go slower, because I will have to give you first the theory of NP completeness. How many of you have studied NP completeness? One, two, three, four, five. Okay. So, tell me here. Okay, anyone, you remember what is NP completeness? And what is motivation behind NP completeness? Why do we care? Computability is one more level higher than NP completeness. Okay. So it's good to let's use Google. Not for the use what you want. Actually, I'm planning to use Google in a very different way. Okay. Let me see. Okay, I'm using Google as a calculator. Okay, so people who have not had the theoretical background, when you talk about algorithms, you talk of how much time it will take. Okay, so if my, if I give you an input of size n, then a linear one is some function, a linear function. So maybe say n plus 2 or 2n plus 5 or something like that. That's linear. Okay. Now quadratic is order of n squared. Okay. So it can be like n squared plus n plus 5, n 2n squared, 3n squared plus 5n minus 7. So it's a function of n, but at the maximum I can have is n squared. That's quadratic. And similarly, order of n cube, and so on, order of n to the power of anything, say k. So these are all polynomials. Okay. Now exponential is 2 to the power n, or something to the power n. Okay, the n goes up as an exponent. And these exponential functions, means when you do the graph, it really rises like very fast. Okay, so for even 2 to the power n, if 2 to the power, say 5 is 32, it's kind of low. I don't know if you know the story of the, it's probably a folk story in various cultures, that there's like a king and a smart guy, and they have a bargain, and this smart guy says, okay, to the king, that I will give you 10,000 whatever dollars per day, and you start with just 1 cent per day, or, and then every day you double. Okay? I will give you 10,000 from day one for 30 days or 40 days or something, and you just start with 1 cent and double every time, every other day. And of course, if people who do not know about exponential get into trouble with such a bargain. So for example, 2 to the power 30, so if you start with, so 2 to the power 30, let's see what the number is. So this is, let's say 1 billion, right? 2 to the power 30 is 1 billion, yeah, 10 and then, 2 to the power 30. Now once you get to 40, pretty soon you come to a number which there are not. You pass all the molecules in the world, and you just put 100 here and say 10 to the power 30. You slow very quickly reach things which are, you cannot have that many molecules in the world, whole universe, or things like that. And on the other hand, that 100 number is not very big, right? Why would I need to have 2 to the power 100 kind of a thing? So it's not unreasonable, actually. Say you have 100 fluents, right? Then you have 2 to the power 100 different states. If you have 100 things, properties, then if you think how many different possibilities are there, it's 2 to the power 100. Even in this room we can define 100 properties. So there are this many variations just in this room. So this exponential is very, very dangerous thing. Unfortunately, a lot of AI problems or AI issues tend to be there. Okay? But that is the thing. And that is why it is called artificial intelligence, because if you are not smart and you try to explore all the possibilities 2 to the power 100, then you'll take that much time. Or that many milliseconds doesn't help. Okay. So now there are very many problems. If I ask you to find an algorithm, you cannot find a linear or any of these polynomial algorithm. You just cannot find it. or nobody has found one yet, put it that way. But yet, you can easily think of an exponential algorithm. So it doesn't help because, I mean, so does that mean this algorithm, I mean, you haven't found one. So just because you haven't found one, so what has happened is there are many algorithms where people cannot find something here, people can find something here, and for some time people were saying, losing hope, and say, okay, maybe they're bad. And then came this smart guy, and he defined a class called NP complete. And his idea was that we do not know, we have not been able to prove that it cannot be done better than exponential. We do not know that yet. So maybe we can explore, I mean, we can do something about it. I mean, maybe we can somehow link all these problems which we have not been able to figure out here. Maybe they have some other properties. And this property, so one such property is called NP completeness. So what they are is they are hard. I mean, one can find exponential algorithms for them. And they're very easy, simple problems for which you can, I mean, which are, you cannot find a good polynomial one, but you can find an exponential one. An example is, say, you have a graph, okay, graph coloring. So you have a graph and you want to assign them colors so that two adjacent ones do not have the same color. Simple problem. And there are many, many simple problems. You cannot find the simple algorithms or polynomial time algorithms. So this NP completeness theory is that so from P, so this polynomial is called P, and from this P there came the class called NP. Okay? So one way to think of NP and P without thinking of Turing machines is P is, you can solve the problem in polynomial time. NP is, if somebody gives you a solution, you can verify it is in polynomial time. Okay? You don't know, I mean, so if somebody gives you a possible solution, you can check quickly in polynomial time if it's a solution or not. Okay, that you can think of as an NP. And the difficulty in the graph search or in the graph coloring or many of these problems is coming up with a solution to check, and that there are exponential number of such possible solutions. So if somehow someone told you one of the solutions, you can check quickly. That's how you can do them quickly. I mean, you can check them quickly. But the fact that there are exponential number of them, that this does not lead you to an efficient algorithm. Okay. So this is P and NP. Now, so anything which is in P is also in NP. I mean, if you can do it in polynomial time, if somebody gives you a solution, you can also check it in polynomial time. Okay? Let me write down, because P... Then there is another class called CoNP. And this is so NP complete is a problem is NP complete. If one, it is in NP, that means and this is where the completeness comes in, that a problem is in NP complete if it is in NP and every other problem in NP can be reduced to this problem in polynomial time. So it's like NP P NP complete. So you can think of this as the hardest problem in this class. Okay, hardest in the sense. So what does this say? This and this relates to that. For many of these problems, we do not know yet know that there is if there is a polynomial algorithm or not. So the example I gave, if I can color a graph, okay. It would be, if it is hard, it would be nice if somebody told me that you cannot do it in polynomial time, right? At least I know that I cannot do it. But people have not been able to prove that. So these are called lower bounds of algorithms. So for example, searching or under certain sorting, there's a proof that you cannot do sorting with less than n log n time, no matter how you try, because that's the minimum you will take. Worst case time. Of course, if it is already sorted, you don't have to do anything. The worst case sorting of, no matter what algorithm you do, you cannot do better than n log n. That's the lower bound. So similarly, there are searching, you cannot do better than log n. So if there is a problem and if somebody tells me that you cannot do better than exponential, then I'm like, okay, give up. And there are problems like that. Exponential time complete. But there are a whole bunch of problems which nobody knows if there is a polynomial time algorithm. There is no polynomial time algorithm known for them. At the same time, nobody has proven that there is no polynomial time algorithm. Okay, maybe there is. That means we haven't found it. Although very unlikely, but maybe there is. Just because we haven't found it does not mean that it doesn't exist. Yes. No, I'm not getting. I'm not saying that. So we have not been able to. So there is a whole bunch of problems for which we have not found polynomial time algorithm. We have not been able to prove that there are no polynomial time algorithm. We have been able to find some exponential algorithm. So we are not yet ready to just give up on them and just say these are bad, these are exponential. We would give up on them if we could prove that we cannot do better than exponential. But we haven't been able to prove that either. So we are not ready to give up on them yet. So what NP-complete allows us to do is saying that if someday somebody finds a polynomial like this problem, somebody find a polynomial chain algorithm time in say 40, 60, 7 years, somebody found a polynomial chain algorithm, what will be the implication based on this definition? This one says every other problem in NP can be reduced to this problem in polynomial time. So any problem like this problem here or this problem here, I can reduce to this problem in polynomial time. So I can solve this one in polynomial time. I can solve this one in polynomial time. I can solve everything here in polynomial time. Okay, so you can see the neatness of this definition. It basically comes out of our frustration of being not able to pinpoint it where it is. Can we? Is it too hard that exponential and we cannot go better than that? We don't know. Right? And we haven't yet found it. So on the hope that someday somebody might find it, we are saying, okay, if you find it, if I prove it NP-complete, then everything here can also be done in polynomial time. So do you see the kind of importance of this NP-completeness notion? That today as we stand, I do not have a polynomial time algorithm. I have often an exponential algorithm. But yet I cannot prove that I cannot do better than exponential. So I'm saying, okay, someday, if anybody else, if I prove it NP-complete, someday if somebody finds a polynomial time algorithm for some other NP-complete problem, then I have a polynomial time algorithm for this one too, because I can just reduce it. By definition, every other problem in NP can be reduced to this problem. So I can just reduce it and solve it. Okay? So do you see the motivation of this notion of NP-completeness? So now, if I want to prove something in NP-completeness, NP-complete, right? By definition, I have to prove that it is in NP. This is not so hard. Then I have to prove every other problem in NP can be reduced to this problem in polynomial time. Not easy, right? Every other problem, means there are infinite such problems. Proving then that I can reduce them, I cannot do them by one. So, the canonical of the first NP-complete problem was proven theoretically nicely. There is where the Turing machine comes, and the problem that was proven NP-complete is satisfiability. P is NP-complete. So this was first proven as NP-complete. And what is satisfiability? Is you can think of like a formula. Say if we have F11 or F12 or F13, F1n1, and Fm1n3, Fmn. So this is a formula, means the disjunction and conjunction of disjunction. Satisfiable means, so if I have something like, let me give you an example. Say I write something like A or B and not A or C and not C or B. Okay? So satisfiability means I have to find out, I have to assign values, I have A, B and C, and I have to assign them values true or false. And if a particular assignment makes all this true, then that's satisfiable. So I say this formula is satisfiable if there is a particular assignment to A, B, and C which makes this true. So let's see, is this satisfiable? Suppose I make A equal to true, B equal to false, C equal to true. What happens? So A is true, so this becomes true, and this becomes true, but this is not true, right? So this assignment is not a model of this formula. I have to find something, some other one. Is there one? So A equal to false, B equal to true, and C doesn't matter. So if I take this, so A is false, but B is true, so this becomes true, and this is true. So this is makes this formula true, so thus this formula is satisfiable. Okay? Now you can see this satisfiability. If somebody gives me something, checking is fairly easy, right? I just put the values and do and or and find out if it is true or not. So it's in NP. And you can see why it is hard, because, I mean, intuitively, because if I have to check every possible assignment, there will be 2 to the power n possible assignments, right? Because if there are n such variables, they can be true or false, and there can be 2 to the power n. So there is an exponential algorithm, but not good. So this is NP, and so now question is, how did they prove this is NP complete? Okay, so this is the first one they proved this to be NP complete. And the way they did it is, so if you look at the definition saying every other problem in NP, right? So you say, okay, what is the problem in NP? So now you actually go to the more precise definition of NP. And the more precise the mathematical definition of NP is basically saying a problem is in NP if it can be solved by non-deterministic Turing machine. And I don't want to go over the proof here, of course. So there's a Turing machine, and there you can take non-deterministic Turing machine. And when you say that, okay, this problem can be solved by a non-deterministic Turing machine, what happens is that definition, if you say, okay, what does it mean by some problem can be solved by a non-deterministic Turing machine? And it says, okay, it can be solved if this is true, and this is true, and this is true, and this is true. And what that is a formula, right? So this definition of something is satisfiable or something is solvable by a non-deterministic Turing machine, when you start thinking about it, most definitions are logical definitions, like this is true if this and this and this, right? And that's exactly this. If something this and this and this and so on. So this definition basically boils down to a propositional formula like this, a big one, but a formula like this. So in other words, SAT is NP complete because it's in NP, and every other problem in NP can be made to be written as a formula, satisfiability formula. So that is how, so this is the first one which is proven. Now once you have proven, so these are very interesting things. I mean, that's why the poor people who, means Cook, who developed this, he got Turing Award long time back. A very neat paper, a small, it's not a big, I mean, it's one small paper, but the implications are big. So once you prove something to be NP complete, and you prove the SAT, the next one is not so hard. Why? So suppose now I want to prove that, say, graph coloring is NP complete. How do I prove it? So, yeah. So if I want to prove some other problem to be NP complete, I have to show this, graph coloring is an NP. Now for this one, every other problem in NP can be reduced to this problem, right? So I can say every other problem can be reduced to and this problem, right? Now we know that every other problem can be reduced to SAT. So if I can just show that SAT can be reduced to this, then through this I have every other problem can be reduced to this problem. So now that I have shown, once I show that satisfiability is NP complete, I can simplify, this definition leads to a simplification. I no longer have to show that, if I want to show some new problem, I no longer have to go directly from here to here. I know I can go from here to here, so I just have to go from here to here. And the more I increase, I mean, I know SAT, then I come up with something from X1, then I can just show X1 and keep going. Only the SAT one, I really have to do by definition. There, all the other ones, I can just take a known NP complete problem and then show it, reduce it. Okay? Anything that has been already proven to be NP complete, that means every other problem can be reduced to that problem. So all I have to do is take one of those and reduce it to this problem that I'm interested in at this point. So to prove NP completeness, then let me write down. So this is the definition. And always definitions are hard. Means if you think of, and that's how again research is, science is, if you think of like say differentiation, go back to old math, or integration, right? So there's a basic definition of differentiation, if you remember, the basic definition of integration. But after some time, after you know the basic ones and you derive, like say, think of differentiation and you know how to do x and x squared and x, polynomial ones and so on, then the rest you can just compute. There are some formulas and you can compute them. You don't have to do by basic principles. So similarly, for once you prove that, a lot of the other ones become simpler. Okay, so to prove a problem is NP complete, one, so it is in NP, two, so that a known NP complete problem can be reduced to problem, let me say x, to reduce to x in polynomial time. Okay? To prove a problem x is NP complete, so it is in NP, and so that a known NP complete problem can be reduced to x in polynomial time. And in fact, there are books which compile, which have a list of NP complete problems that is known. I'm going to give you a homework on this just so you can brush up. Okay? I'm not going to ask in a test prove something to be NP complete. Something new. I mean, if I do it in the class maybe, but because proving something to be NP complete often is a research problem, takes more time if something is new. It's not something doable in normal classes. Actually, when I was doing PhD, I mean, you would have to, like, we would have these qualifying exams, and there will be five questions, and one of them is to prove something NP complete in those 3 hours, and you haven't seen those. So that was one of them, usually. But that is for the for the theory class, not here. Here, I just want you to, I mean, when you, I'm going to give you a simple problem. So we saw the SAT is NP complete. So the homework is prove that 3SAT is NP complete. I mean, you can cheat. Every book has it. Okay? And it's okay. I think you just try and then read a book. And write then. But don't copy it. When you write it, make sure you understand it. Okay? I'm just trying to at least open a book on NP complete. That's all I'm trying to do. And so prove that 3SAT is NP complete. And what is 3SAT? It's like satisfiability, except that you have only 3 of 3 in each conjunct. So A11 or A12 or A13. And A21 or A22 or A23. And like that. So before you could have as many, but here you just have 3. And even, and the point is that with only 3, it's as difficult as having as many. But if you make it 2, actually you can solve it quicker. So 3 is kind of critical. 3 SAT. Okay, and this is the, after SAT in every book, the next one or the next to next one is 3 SAT. So it's just, I want you to read a book on NP completeness and read that thing, that's all. I mean, you can copy it, but you will be cheating yourself. So try to read and understand it and then write it. Okay? I'm going to give you the due date and all that stuff. Okay. So we... you understand now what is NP completeness and how to prove something to be NP completeness. Of course, in theoretically, I should prove something to actually illustrate that. So we will, we are going to discuss this one. How much time we have? Enough time. Next week I will be going out of town for a conference, so there will be 2 classes. I will not be there. In one, my PhD student who works on Go languages will talk about the linear temporal logic, and on the second one I have a postdoc who did his I have a postdoc who did his PhD on sensing axons, and he will talk about sensing axons. Okay. So be there next. So the deadline, so I can give you a longer deadline. So today is 4th, right? So 4th, I can give you 2 weeks for this time. So I don't know if it helps or not, but yeah, yes, I have to at least count that you did it, right? Even though you you can email, it's fine. If you type it in email, it's fine. Okay, but please don't copy. It's there every book. Don't just copy. Read and understand it. That is the point. Okay. So 4, 7, 18. Do you want 18? September. Okay. So we get to the question on 20. Given D, O, and O prime determining if they are consistent, what does it mean, determining if they're consistent? It means that there exists sigma 0 phi d, which is a model of DO, and which satisfies O prime. So how do we prove this to be NP complete? 2 step. 1, so it is an NP. 2, is take an existing a known NP complete problem and reduce it to this problem in polynomial time. So showing it empty means, as my definition is fine, you don't have to talk about Turing machine. If somebody gives you a solution, you can verify it, right? So here the solution is there exists something like this. So it means if somebody gives you a sigma 0 phi d, you just need to verify, is it a model of d0 and satisfy this? Right? And of course, if you look at RT, it means R1 and R2, that's exactly what they're doing. R1 tells you if this phi d is, R1 tells you if a phi d exists, and if it exists, you can compare, there's only one phi d, you can compare with this one. And given this exists, then you have the sigma 0, and you just have to see if the phi d and sigma 0 satisfies this thing. Okay? Determining if this is an initial state. So you just have to do basically R1 and R2, which are both polynomial, that's why I made those steps. So if somebody gives you this, you have to do R1 and R, check R1 and R2, and you get this. So it's NP, not a problem. Often finding something is NP is not a problem. Okay, so now we want to reduce. So the next we want to do is reduce SAT to this problem. Satisfiability to this problem in polynomial time. So reduce SAT to this problem in polynomial time. So what is SAT? So let me write down again. F11 or F12 or F13, F1N1. So I have a formula like this. F21 or F22, F23, F2N2, FN1. Or FN2 or FN3, sorry, M1, M2, M3, FM, and M. So I have a formula like this. So from this formula, when I say reduce this, basically I have to create a D, a O, and a O prime. And I have to prove that this is satisfiable if this D, O, O prime is consistent. Okay, this is what I have to show. So let me call this. So what I have to do is, this is my F. So create D O O prime from F and so that F is satisfiable if and only if, both sides, if and only if D O and O prime is consistent. So give it. So I started with something known, NP complete problem, and I have to reduce it to this. So let's try to think and see what happens. How we can do this. And I mean, whenever anything creative is not necessarily very straightforward. So we have to think like, okay, what do I play with it? So I'm going to tell you the answer, but let me give you some hint to see if it can help. So the part that is going to be useful is this, or is the tricky part is the O prime. That's what brings the complexity, the oracle. Okay. So somehow, if this is satisfiable, I have to make, it's almost like if this is satisfiable, then O prime should also be be true with respect to the model of DO. So how do I do that? So if this is satisfiable, what this means is each one of them, right? this is satisfiable, if this is satisfiable, this is satisfiable, this is satisfiable. So let me just write something randomly. So suppose I can say A causes say G1 if F11, A causes G1 if F12, like that. And then I have A causes G2 if F21, like that. So I'm giving you one first step. Now suppose I have such actions. Okay? So what will happen if I do this, if this is satisfiable and I do this action A, what will happen? If this is satisfiable, right? Then I do this action in some state, what will happen? If this is satisfiable, then one of this must be true. So G1 will be true. And then G2 will be true, and all this Gm would be true. Right? If this is satisfiable, so we are kind of getting somewhere. We want to somehow link this with this, right? So you get some link that if this is satisfiable, then if I do XA in the state where this is satisfiable, in that state. So, and that state is what my, so if this is satisfiable, so this is what it says. If F is satisfiable, maybe that is what I will get my sigma 0 is. So I'm kind of providing some links and then we'll put them together. That whatever is satisfiable, that might be my initial state. Okay? Somehow I want to make that my initial state. Now from that initial state, if I do A there, what happens? This G1 to Gm become true. Right? So now I can say, okay, these are my G1 to Gm. So now I will put another action saying A prime, because I don't, my O prime are of the form to G after A1 to Am. So this is kind of one thing. So I have G1 to Gm, so I want to put them together. So I can say A prime causes G if say G1 to Gm. And, I mean, I'm trying to link them. So how do I link? I said, okay, maybe I'll make an action which somehow corresponds to something here. So this action will make this is true, if, I mean, will make G1 true if either one of them is true. And similarly, G2, similar up to Gm. And then this action, what it does is if it finds all of these to be true, then it makes G true. Okay? So now you can see what I'm, where I'm getting at slowly. So now my O prime, look at it. My O prime would be that G after A prime. So I'm saying my oracle is saying that the G will be true after I do A and A prime. And this can only happen if the initial state is whatever makes this satisfiable, right? If this is not satisfiable, there is no initial state and this will never happen. So you can see the link. I really don't need anything in O. Actually, no, I do need. I want to make, since I want to make G2 after here, so I want to initially make all the G's and G primes false. Okay? Initially, all the G and G primes are false. That allows me, because this G1 and G, so O is G initially not G1, not G2, all that, and initially not G. So what it is providing is that if I have just that as O, I have this in slide, so if I have only O, that as O, so initially not G1, not G2 means they are all false. But all the F's, there are all those possibilities. And some of those possibilities maybe make F satisfiable. If F is satisfiable, one of them at least makes satisfiable. And that particular one is the sigma 0, which will, when I do this action A and A prime, will make G true. You see the connection? Okay, let me So I put together various pieces. Yes. Go ahead. Yeah, so question is, polynomial means when I start with something, it should take polynomial time in making this up. So, if you see, if this is the, you count how many of these you have and you count, this is about well, twice the size of not very many. Means because for each of these, F1 I have one, right? For this one I have another one. So whatever you count here, it's kind of 2-3 times, it's not even, it's linear, not even much, it's not, it does not blow up. Okay? The thing I did here, if you look at here, for each of these I made one, for this one I made one. So for this single thing, maybe this takes 10. Okay? So if you want to think 10 bytes or you want to see whatever length, if this is 1 byte, this might be 10 bytes at most. And then this one, and so I'm not really making, blowing it up. But that's a very important question always to ask if I am doing it, my reduction is polynomial or not. It's very important to ask, and if you are doing a formal proof, actually prove that. You start from a SAT problem. Okay, if you look at it, to prove something is NP complete, you start from a known NP complete problem. So you start from SAT and transform it to your domain. So we took that SAT thing, F11 or F12, that thing, and we are transforming it to our DOO prime. And this is a casual mistake many people do, is they take the problem that you have and transform it to SAT. No. You take SAT and transform it. The reason is you're trying to prove that this is NP complete. That means if you find a polynomial time algorithm for this one, you can find for everything. And if you find one for this, then SAT can be reduced to it, and everything can be reduced to SAT. So you have found polynomial time algorithm for every problem in which is NP complete. Okay. So again, I'm going to go over this next class. This stuff one more time, but let me conclude it quick and then we'll come back again and go over this. Okay? So what we did was our O is all this initially not G1 not this G. It does not touch any of this F. So this leads to multiple sigma zeros, and if this is satisfiable, then whatever satisfies this formula, that particular sigma zero is the one which will make, after you do A, it will make G1 to GM true, and after you do A prime, it will make G true. So if this is satisfiable, then there is a sigma zero and phi D which will make this satisfiable. If this is not satisfiable, there is no such sigma zero, then you cannot find a sigma zero which will make this true either. So it goes both ways, if and only if. It is in my old slide, so think about it. The difference between this and the old slide is there is no distinction between O and O prime. They are put together. Here I just separated them. Otherwise, this thing is the old slide, and you can look at it. And we'll prove one more NP complete. Hopefully next class, yeah. Okay? Hope it was not too bad, right?